Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Scary Stories by the Campfire. We are your counselors this evening, Jason.
And Jeremy.
And tonight, we are talking about a beast, or more or less, a spirit. A spirit of consuming. Human consumption, that is. We are talking about antlers.
Yeah, deer.
That's not the name of the beast. That's the name of the movie.
It's a deer.
It's deer. Or moose.
It could be.
Moose can have antlers.
That is true. They do have antlers. No, but Jason is right. We are talking about antlers. And if nobody's ever seen it before, well, I don't blame you. It came out 2 years ago. And it was actually, funny enough, Jason, filmed, like they finished filming this movie on November 30th, 2018.
They filmed it in 2018?
Yeah, they finished filming November 30th in
2018. Wow.
Took them a while to get it out.
Yes. So, some movies do that. Sometimes they'll, I think, like New Mutants was finished filming and it took like 3 or 4 years before it ever actually came out, it feels like. So,
yeah,
it's not entirely unheard of.
No. So, Jason.
Yes.
We just got done watching the Pet Sematary series talk about Wendigos and spirits and stuff like that. Well, what did you think of my Wendigo?
Wendigo. Wendigo. I thought it was all right. I liked it. It was a bit more of a slower pace, which is not always a bad thing. It was good. I think there was just don't know really how to describe it. It wasn't scary.
No, it definitely wasn't scary. It had a couple jump scares, so it was more of a suspenseful horror. I guess you could say.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a slow burn. It did have, and you don't really get to see the creature until like the end of the movie, which. I don't know why my Twitch is not working right now. No, it was an all right movie. There was some bits and pieces that I did miss because I had things going on over on this end. But I did like it. I did like the fact that they showed the Wendigo and stuff towards the end. And like Pet Sematary, which, like I said, I'm working through the book right now. We haven't gotten to the part with the Wendigo. But I know, like, in the first movie, they never really said anything about it. In the second movie, they mentioned it, but that was about it. This one, I actually like to, see the creature and whatnot. And it actually looked pretty impressive to me. I did like the look of it.
Which, 90% of it was practical.
Well, that's good.
They actually built that suit. And they CGI'd the people out of it. So you didn't see them, but yeah, that's about 90% practical.
Practical effects are always really good. The story wise, I don't know. I was posting some stuff, some basic stuff on Facebook about like Wendigos and who's it's and whatnot. It's because I'm trying to keep the Facebook a little bit more active. But I don't know too much lore on Wendigos. Probably primarily because every time they talk about Wendigos in anything, it's always some sort of different. I mean, like Wendigos in World of Warcraft are big Yetis.
Yeah.
And Wendigos in Fallout 76 are mutated humanoids. Wendigos are, you know, Native American spirits that are essentially what people who revert to cannibalism, you know, become. Or, you know, in like the pet cemetery, it's a spirit that actually possesses, or what's supposed to be possessing of the dead bodies. So every time you turn around, there's like a new variation of a Wendigo. So, but I do think that they hit this one pretty much on the head, where it's a spirit, it's a Native American spirit that possesses. They almost use this one. I think they even refer to it as like a curse. Like, I guess that only means like one person can have it at a time. Like it can only possess one person at a time. So,
no, I don't. I think because the son was also possessed at the same time as the dad.
Yeah, but he never actually became the Wendigo.
See, no, but he still was.
He was, yeah, and I think it was a setup. I think in the way the dad was attacked first at the beginning of the movie, he was attacked, and then the youngest son walked in. You don't get to see him get attacked, but it happens, and the dad is in a worse condition, probably because he got attacked first. And the younger son starts to, you know, get kind of the transformation started. But he doesn't actually start any sort of possible transformation until after the dad has transformed and been killed.
Which
now, mind you, this could be something like an incubation period where maybe like it takes, you know, there's like a certain amount of time since the dad was attacked to when the son was attacked. So there's like an incubation period in there. But and maybe there could be multiple Wendigos, because that brings up the question, what happened to the one at the beginning of the movie? Did it die? I don't think so. But you only get to really see one throughout the entire movie at a time.
And I'll tell you now, I don't know if you watched it or if you were there, if it was someone that you missed. The transformation scene was great. It was actually my favorite scene. So here we go. That whole thing, like the antlers coming out of his mouth and all that jazz. Like, to me, that was great.
Yeah, actually, must have been a scene I missed, because I didn't get to see the actual transformation. I got to see the aftermath where they went up there and found like the principal's body up in the attic or wherever they were keeping him, and his like husk of a body was still... still in there. So, but I actually kind of missed that entire scene, sadly.
But now you got to see it. So what'd you think of it?
It was pretty good. Pretty interesting, because they don't ever really, it's interesting to see that, because I think, what was that one game? Until Dawn.
Oh yeah, I have that game.
That one had Wendigos in it also. And when I guess the people were transforming into the Wendigos, they were just kind of body transformation.
Yeah.
I think in this movie, they use the idea that like the spirit is inside of him. It's eaten away at him. And then when it's time for the transformation, the spirit, I guess, must use whatever's inside to create itself and leaves the husk of the human behind.
It's kinda almost like a beautiful butterfly coming out of its cocoon.
Yeah, it's kind of like that's exactly what I was thinking of. It's kind of like the human is the cocoon for this Wendigo butterfly that comes out of it. But I mean, instead of having this kind of gnarly looking cocoon, you have this gnarly body with the body all splayed open, his face is all open, and stuff like that. So
what's cool is it actually leads into your favorite scene.
Yes, this was actually one of the first time that I really got to see the Wendigo, which I thought was pretty cool.
So, first, let's talk about the whole face thing.
Actually,
because that's a great touch.
I like, because it kind of shows. I just like how he got all the way over there from the house, all the way to that little mine or whatever, and he still had that thing stuck to his face. Like at some point, you would think that would have fallen off, but apparently, he was just like, "Nope, I'm gonna keep this on my face." This would be great, shock value. I thought it was a good touch because it kind of shows the person that he was, and that was the last remnants of the dad. And I actually did like the scene where, just right after that, where she shoots at it, he kind of smacks her away or whatever. You get to see the kind of the angle with the face, and the face just kind of goes, it just peels off. It's like, and falls off. Which I thought was fun. Now that kid, the main kid,
Lucas Weaver, played by Jeremy T. Thomas.
Yeah, Lucas was
for his age, he did phenomenal.
He did a good job with his kind, because they talked about, now, pretty much the basic plot of this movie is you've got these two plots that are kind of intertwined. You have Lucas's plot, where his younger brother and his dad were out at the beginning of the movie. His dad was making meth.
Yep.
In an old mine. And that's when he gets attacked by the Wendigo. And then the boy wanders in, and then the credits are the title card rolls. And so at this point, I guess they make it home. And he has the boy, the dad has the boys lock him in a room because he was feeling bad, getting violent, whatever. And eventually, Lucas realized that his brother was starting to change too, so he put him in the closet also, or whatever it was, some room. And he proceeded to feed them with animals that he had trapped and killed, and roadkill, I believe.
Yep.
Anything he could really find, and he was feeding them meat. And he was just very distraught and very kind of sad. It was very sad. And when they find him and they bring him to the doctors or whatever, they said he was malnourished, dehydrated. He showed signs of abuse. Now, we don't know if that abuse came from the dad before he got attacked or after. I mean, if your dad's cooking up meth in an underground mine, I don't want to be judgy, but I'm pretty sure he's not going to have any principles on smacking you around a little bit. So, So I want to say, like, maybe he didn't have the best home relationship anyway. But then we have the teacher who was having to get over, or she was having to deal with her trauma.
With, Julia, played by Carrie Russell.
With
And she's in a lot of stuff.
With her dad, who I guess was a mentally ill alcoholic.
Yep.
And she was staying with her brother, who was
the sheriff.
The sheriff.
Played now, by Jeremy T. Thomas. Or not Jeremy T. Thomas.
Oh my goodness, he plays Lucas and the sheriff.
No, Jesse Plemons.
Yeah. There's one thing I didn't like about this movie, and I actually did see it in a it was like a critic who was talking about this movie, and it kind of went along with the idea that I had was that the former sheriff, what's his name? He was the Native American guy.
Oh, the actor is Graham Greene, but it's Warren Stokes.
Yeah. They brought him in here. He appeared in a couple scenes beforehand. I think he was there when they found one of the bodies and whatnot. But I think my biggest problem with him is that they didn't utilize him enough. It seemed like he was there for more of like just exposition.
Yeah.
He shows up a couple times in the movie, just kind of there because I guess, you know, former sheriff and whatnot. But then, you know, when they show up to his place to show him the drawings that Lucas had made, he's like, oh, yeah, this is a Wendigo. It's a Native American spirit that, you know, da 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 da, and he kind of explains what the creature is, and then you never see him ever again. That's like, that's it.
It's yeah. Like,
you couldn't use him in like the finale or something, bring him back, let him, you know, you would think that if he knew what a Wendigo is, he would know. I mean, he did tell him how to beat it, but it would have been nice to see him, you know, do some more than just that. Just kind of tell you what it is and then ditch out just because it's some sort of Native American spirit, you know? I don't know. It just felt like that was a little bit, yeah, for me. But I mean, the rest of it wasn't that bad. I actually liked it. Yeah.
This is actually based off a short story.
Like the Quiet Boy or something like that?
Yeah, by Nick Antosca.
Now, this one was actually, was it screenplayed or was it written? I mean, I guess that is kind of the same thing.
By who?
Who directed this?
Scott Cooper.
Scott Cooper. Yeah, because that was right. It was supposed to be... produced.
Del Toro.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, he produced it.
Yeah, I think I saw another one that said, like another critic said that if he had actually directed it, or maybe even wrote it, you know, it would have probably been a little bit better.
Yeah, because he does some great work. Del Toro is phenomenal.
Yeah, see, that was the thing, was that I thought he did the movie, but he just produced it. Which, I mean, I guess is kind of the, you know, producers sometimes have the most strings pulled because they're the ones putting the money into it.
But he probably just let them do their thing.
Well, he probably had some sort of, you know, say-so in it, but I think if he was directing it, it would have had its own nice little flair to it, and it would have probably been a little bit better. Because, like I said, the movie's not bad. It's just not, like, my favorite. I do like that we get, like, a movie, you know, about Wendigos. You know, not particular in the movie Wendigo, which you said was boring.
And oh, this one was so boring.
I mean, it's kind of... kind of funny. I remember the ice cream shop scene. They were sitting in the ice cream shop or whatever, and he was eating or whatever, and she was asking him questions. He finally got done with the questions, and Lucas walked out. He's like, oh, and stop following me. And he just kind of walks out. It's like,
creepy little boy.
So how'd you even come across this thing, Jeremy?
I saw it in theaters. I watched it in theaters when it first came out. Way back when.
God.
Yeah.
I remember last time I went to the movies. I think the last movie I saw in theaters was Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Going to the movies and the theater is the best. But, yeah, I saw it in theaters because I remember seeing the trailer during another movie I was watching in theaters. I don't remember which one off the top of my head. But I remember seeing this trailer and I was like, oh, that looks interesting. So I was able to catch it at like a matinee, so it was super cheap. But I ended up buying it on Blu-ray when it came out. I've always really liked it. I've watched it a few times. But it's pretty cool because every time I watch it, I catch something new that I didn't see the time before.
Yeah, well, definitely if I go back and rewatch it, I'm pretty sure I'm going to catch at least 75% of what I missed. But, yeah, it was... And it's nice to have something that's original. You know, you're not getting the same. You know what I mean? Like,
I will say Mr. Scott Cooper treats his bullies like... I think he's been reading a little too much Stephen King.
Yeah, that is true. That one bully... What is with these bullies and stuff in these movies? They're just so... Scott Cooper, what have you done?
Well, he read a lot of Stephen King, apparently, because, yeah, his bullies are all over the place.
Yeah, I don't recognize any of these movies.
And that was also a funny... That one... when they killed off the little redhead kid. Like, that one was... Because he's picking on Lucas in the woods.
Yeah, the bully.
Yeah, the Wendigo jumps from the tree and just eats him. And you're like, huh. They just killed him. A third grader. Or a fifth grader, whatever grade he was in.
He looked a little old to be.
I think he was in fifth.
Yeah, well, seems.
Well, he probably was Jason. A little bit tall.
Yeah, you know, we're still, you know, it's like back in the days when they had like 30-year-olds playing high schoolers. You know?
Back in the day, they still do.
Sometimes, but now they got a plethora of young actors who can play young characters.
Sure.
Or, you know, actors who still look young.
But I'd say that's like in Children of the Corn.
Oh, Children of the Corn.
But let's talk about Julia. She's the main character besides, you know, Lucas.
Lucas.
What did you think of Kerry Russell as Julia?
She was all right.
I don't know if you know what else she's in and stuff like that.
I didn't look at her.
I mean, she's in Mission Impossible 3. She's in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
I thought...
Cocaine Bear.
Oh my gosh, she's in Cocaine Bear. I thought her character was... It was good. It was like... At least I haven't seen it very often, but you have a character that, especially like a teacher, you know, you see a lot of these movies and whatnot where like the teacher is disconnected from the students. You know, they're just like, these are my students. I'm the teacher. I teach them. That's what I do. You know, you got like all them. In particular movies, you do have like the teachers that connect with the students. Usually they try to like teach them some sort of life lesson or something like that. This teacher was actually trying to take in this kid, right? She knew something was wrong because growing up in the situation that she did, she had a lot of, you know, traumatic memories and whatnot. And I guess she was seeing the same thing in Lucas. So in a sense, she was trying to protect him from that, which is good. You know, you don't see a lot of that. Like I said, you know, you don't have teachers who actually kind of dive into that, you know, personal stuff with their students a whole lot. So, and the way she just kind of like manned up at the end, she's like, this is my student and I'm going to go get him. Even if it's just a big fight, fight a giant, you know, fleshy antler deer monster with the face falling off. You know, she went in there, gun just a, you know. And the fact that she had to kill the younger brother at the end of it was just, that actually did get me a little bit. I was like, that's sad.
And the way they filmed it, because they just show Lucas covering his ears when he starts screaming.
Yeah, I mean, they did it off camera, which is good. And just it was like, you know, because dad had already transformed into this monster and she stabbed in the chest or whatever and killed it.
Yes, Reaper, like it, Matilda. That is true.
Like in Matilda.
Mrs. Honey did the same thing.
Yeah, she did.
Miss Honey. That wasn't a horror movie.
Though. I mean, well, I mean,
the Chokey. The Chokey and that, Mrs. Trent, Miss Trenchbull. I think that's considered a horror movie.
We'll have to cover that one on here.
Danny DeVito. And,
we got our next horror movie, Matilda. But you know, he was making that screaming sound or whatever, that sound like he was, I don't want to say he was about to hatch or transform or something like that, but he was just making that sound, and Lucas was still there to try to defend him, you know, because the teacher's gonna go up there and, you know, kill the kid or whatever, and he's like, no, we could fix him, we can cure him, whatever, and she's just like, there's no fixing him, it's not gonna happen, so just turn away, do not watch. And she went over there, and yeah, the way it worked was that it wasn't like she just walked over there and just stab them or whatever, and
walks up like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah, just stab and call it a day. She felt what he was going through, and she embraced him before she did it. She gave him a big old hug and held on to him as he did. And like I said, it was all off camera, so you didn't get to see any of it. And you know, I thought it was good the way they did it. You know, very sad and emotional. Like I said, I missed half the movie, so.
But that was after she sliced the Wendigo open and took out the burning hot heart out of its chest.
Yeah, it's kind of like a big, big smoldering heart.
And she just like cut into it and just picked it up.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I don't know.
I will say though, the sheriff, I liked the chemistry between Kerry Russell and the sheriff. I can't think of the actor's name. Jesse Plemons. They actually had good chemistry, like brother and sister. Like,
when he went in
his kitchen and was like, where is this? She's like, oh, I moved it over here. He's like, can you please not move my things from where I had them, because I know where they're at.
You're a guest in the house and you're moving all this stuff around and you can't find it. No, and I do like the fact that, like, you know, I guess, I mean, it's never explained if anything, you know, I mean, he says that, you know, because she's having one of her traumatic breakdowns or whatever about their dad or whatever, and he said something about like, you don't know what I had to go through. Whether he went through anything or not, it's never really explained.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware, it could have been something
that
said during a scene I missed, but you know, it actually shows flashbacks of her having to like hide under the stairs and stuff like that. And just the way it traumatized her compared to what he, you know, so whether or not he actually got some of that abuse, or maybe it just wasn't that much. Maybe he did get abused, but it just wasn't that much. But he's just like, you don't know what I had to go through.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you may have had to go through something, but apparently it wasn't as bad as hers. So I did like the chemistry between them and the fact that, you know, he is infected with the Wendigo curse. By the end of the movie, he got a beatdown in that one.
Oh yeah, and that shed. That thing knocked him around.
Yeah. That was a fun little scene. That and his little deputy buddy. He got killed.
Got stabbed in the back.
I think that guy was in Deadpool. I'm trying to remember. Probably not. Oh, no. I think he was.
Oh, hold on. Let me see if I can find him really quick. But,
yeah. Algonquin.
Oh.
No, that's that's the Wendigo. A legendary Algonquin. A legendary Algonquin demon that appears as a ravenous, cannibalistic, deer-like monster that passes from person to person. So apparently it's... I guess there's one of them, I suppose.
Huh, that's interesting. The original indigenous stories of the Wendigos do not have antlers or horns of any kind. They're described as gaunt, skeletal humanoids ranging from human side to giants who give off a foul smell and feeling of cold when they are near.
Ew, you don't want the stinky Wendigo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I see that. And the narration in the beginning is OJIBWE.
What?
It's a Native American language, but I would butcher it if I try to pronounce it, but it's still spoken nowadays, apparently.
I'm pretty sure there's a lot of those languages that are still spoken. I should say spoken? Yeah.
Speaking? Spoken?
Spoken, yeah. I think spoken is the appropriate phrasing for it.
Well, like I said, I really like the movie. I think it definitely could be better in certain ways. And I think you're right. If Del Toro had directed it, I think it would have been better. I actually almost selected one of his movies instead of this. I almost picked Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Mm-mm, that would have been a good one.
But I decided to go with this one instead to continue the Wendigo fad.
And now the next movie is going to be Wendigo again.
No. I'll tell you now why I'm jumping off the Wendigo train.
You done with Wendigos now?
At least for now.
Okay. We'll get us a new fad running here.
Sure.
Don't know who will
Yeah, I don't know if you're gonna want to keep this fad going after this series is over.
Better not be leprechauns.
I know PJ is ecstatic if it is leprechaun. It could
ecstatic.
Be.
Did you just say
it could be. You know, Jennifer Aniston, Jason.
Oh, for one movie, Jeremy.
So, she's in a Leprechaun series.
Oh, God. No, PJ, no leprechauns. We ain't got time for that. I don't want to sit on leprechaun for like a year and a half.
He goes to space.
Yeah, and about that point, then our show jumped the shark.
So, if... Was the Wendigo in this movie, Jason, everything you expected? Did you expect more out of it?
No, I think it was perfectly... I think it was perfectly fine. I mean, I did like the animosity of the Wendigo. You know, the voraciousness. Now,
yes, I'm not... PJ, you do get iced tea.
I'm not completely sold on... Because I've seen the pictures of Wendigos, you know, and I guess maybe just depending on... Because of the games I've played and whatnot... They tend to be more slithery and kind of fast moving and stuff like that. And this thing just being almost very similar to like a bear. Did you catch that, Jeremy? He was very bear like. He was very, you know, big, strong, you know, kind of. And you know what? That could have been what an actual Wendigo is. But maybe, like I said, it's just me, and I'm so used to having something that was... He did look very... actually, there was a picture I posted on Facebook before we actually saw the movie, and he actually does look very similar to what I had posted. It was kind of funny. But, yeah. Yeah, no, I like the design of him. You know, like I said, I prefer a little bit more faster, less, you know... Oh, I'm going to smack you real hard like I'm a bear, but, you know, other than that.
Yeah. I mean, but if you like, the one in Supernatural is the one more like video games and stuff like that.
What season was that in? Because I do not remember that.
Season 1, episode 2.
Wow, it was that early, huh? Probably why I don't remember it.
Yep.
I gotta just go back and rewatch Supernatural because I don't even remember anything from really the first seasons.
Oh, but anyway, so yeah, they I think it just depends on which lore you go with, because I mean, this one is all the way out in Oregon. Maybe it depends on where they're at.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that could be true, too. Like I said, it's just a matter of how you want to interpret it. Like I said, in some games, it's a big Sasquatch-looking creature, and others, it's, you know, like a very super skinny, bony, fleshy human. Just with longer appendages. And like you said, I think most of them have no antlers.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just really depends on what you're taking.
Well, so, what's up?
I was going to say, are we ready for them numbers?
Yeah. Let's see what everybody else thought.
On the Wendigo meter.
On the...
the window meter.
The window meter. Well, Windometer. On a scale of 1 to 10 on IMDb, with 45,000 votes, what do y'all think people gave Antlers and Mr. Jeremy T. Thomas as Luke, the creepy Lucas?
Hey... Oh, what did we say? This was 1 through 10?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to go with a...
Wendigo in the hood. Ain't that right, Jason?
Yeah. Hey, the Algonquin people, the native people that, you know, this, kind of, I guess, originated from.
Yep.
They're not even in Oregon.
No.
They're all the way more. They're like Canada and all the way up into Maine.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. That explains the bully.
Oh, right. Raven's not playing, is she?
No, I think she has gone and passed out. Yeah.
Yeah, I figured. All right. Well, there isn't that too many deaths. I really don't want to compare you all to children dying, so...
Okay, we got... we got the principal.
You got the meth Lori. Maker.
Yeah, so you got
two meth makers.
Two meth makers.
The principal.
The principal.
The deputy.
The sheriff's deputy. The bully and the young son. I think that was it.
Okay. Well, Jason, you're meth head number one.
Yay.
Mom, PJ. No, actually, no. Reaper. Sorry. You're meth head number two.
Yeah.
You all get.
That makes me the dad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am the Wendigo. I am.
PJ, you actually got it right. You were 0.2 off. It was a 5.9 out of 10. Yep. Missed
wow,
it.
Wow. Way to go. Or should I say when to go?
Sweet Lord.
Yep.
And on a scale of 0 to 100 of the Wendigo meter, what do y'all think critics gave? Yeah. Yay.
I'm not a meth head. No, you get to be it. Okay. So critic wise, 1 to 100, I am going to give it a, let me give it a 63.
All right.
Actually, ironically, I just took my decimal away because I didn't even bother to look up there. I thought I'd do like a 6.2 at first.
Reaper says 69. PJ says 68.
We're all bullseyeing into the 60s.
Right. Reaper, you're the deputy. Quitcha! I stabbed the sheriff, but I didn't stab the deputy.
Technically, he did. he stabbed him with his hands or claws or whatever.
So, yeah. PJ, you are the son.
Oh, sad death.
Jason, you're the bully. You're just like all them other kids from Maine.
He moved from Maine. He just brought his attitude with him.
It was a 59%.
Wow, really? The critics didn't like this thing too much.
Nope. Some of the comments that they said, if I get down to them. There it is. Sorry. Disappointed. Creature and effects look awesome, but it's barely there, and the movie feels itself as a drama that just never grabbed me. It's filled with some great performances and great moments, but they're far in between.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the Wendigo shows up at the end of the movie, and I think it's only about 3 or 4 minutes worth of actual screen time before it's killed off, so I can actually agree with that, where it looks really good, but they just don't have it on there that long. And any time that there is a Wendigo attack, they don't really show the Wendigo. It's just kind of like the back of his head.
Antlers left me wondering if Native Americans have only one myth, because this story has been filmed many times before.
No, I don't feel that. I don't think they're... I mean, how many Wendigo movies are there?
I don't know.
Oh, while you're getting the next thing started, I'm going to take a look real quick. Because that just seems like You know, just because you got like one or two Wendigo movies, it's not like that's the only movies that they have. Oh, whoops, I can't even spell Wendigo.
Now, we will go straight for the audience. On a scale of 1 to 100, what do y'all think the audience gave?
The audience? I think the audience were a bit more lenient on this, so I am going to say a 65. Let me see here. Oopsie. See here, Wendigo movies. This one kind of like a... Wow.
What?
I'm just looking. The Wendigo 2022. The Wendigo, or Wendigo 2001.
One with a weird white cover is the one that I watched.
Now, some of these look like Blair Witch Project stuff. You got Something in the Woods.
Man, we could have kept the Wendigo story going for a very long time.
Michigan Wendigo. I don't know if that's actually a movie or whatnot.
While you're looking at those, PJ, you're the principal. You're a husk. Killed and left. Jason, I've ran out of things. You're the Wendigo itself. You had your heart ripped out. Just...
Yay.
Reaper, you nailed it. Right on the money. 67%.
Ooh.
Look at that. Shot in the dark. They said they were playing blind. Ha, numbers out of thin air. Let's go with their exact words.
Wendigo, 1978.
That's an old movie. But.
Yeah, but I mean, all these are just called Wendigos, and I'm pretty sure they're not all done the same way.
Probably so. Not. But Jason, with that being said, we're stepping out of the woods.
Don't you dare tell me we're getting into the hood.
No.
Don't you tell me we're going
into the hood. No. Okay.
Stepping out of the woods and getting into the hood.
No, but that would have been perfect. Oh, God, that would have been beautiful. But no, that's not what we're doing.
Leaving the wood and hitting the hood.
That's not what we're doing. I think you might. So it's quite funny because I think you might hate this one even more. In fact, by the end of these three movies, you'll probably be wishing it was Leprechaun in the hood.
No, I think I don't have like a hatred for Leprechaun. I think it just gets a little too crazy. And I think it runs for way too long. But
what I'm saying is by the end of this, you probably will be saying, man, I wish I was watching the Leprechaun for a year.
Oh, boy.
And okay. I wanted to go, we've been doing all these suspenseful horrors and stuff like that.
Oh, God.
And Jason.
This could be a stupid comedy, isn't it?
I only got one question for you, Jason.
I don't want to know.
Do you like chicken?
Do I like chicken?
Do you like chicken?
Do I like chicken?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm not like a big fan of chicken. Why?
Welcome to Captain Spaulding's.
Oh, God.
We going Rob Zombie. God. We went Stephen King. Now we're going into...
Can we just go to the hood? So this is... We got House of a Thousand Corpses, The Devil's Rejects, and Three from Hell, right?
Yep, three movies.
This is one of those movie series that I'm gonna hate.
Maybe.
No, I can already tell you because it's just those series of movies that tries to make the bad guys look like good guys by pitting them against bad guys, and
no, they only do that in the third one.
Yeah, and it. Okay, I'm jumping ahead. All right, let's get this show on the road.
All right, let's have some chicken.
Howdy, folks. You like blood, violence, freaks of nature?
On a stormy Halloween night, four young people set out across the back roads of America.
What's that? It's a hitchhiker.
What, should we stop?
We can't leave it right here in the rain.
In search of a mysterious figure known only as
Dr. Satan.
You know anything about the legend of Dr. Satan?
Yeah, I can show you.
Dr. Satan! Ah, Dr. Satan!
What they uncovered.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Is the most horrifying and shocking tale of carnage ever seen.
Well, I bet you'd stick your head in the fire if I told you you could see hell.
You seen this girl?
Yeah, they want to play Nancy Drew with this local legend that people call Dr. Satan.
Stupid kids probably got themselves lost.
Let's get out of this nut house.
The boogeyman is real. And you found him.
It's your God!
Don't kill us.
From director Rob Zombie comes a journey into hell.
This can't be real. This can't be real. This can't be real.
House of a Thousand Corpses.